Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on a Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago. Danny Burke and you. Recruiting news to get to. Luke McCaffrey is in. Committing to Nebraska about 10 minutes ago. Greg Smith will be with us, Hail Varsity recruiting analyst, in 15 minutes. Get his thoughts on McCaffrey. We are loaded up today. Hour two, we'll run down Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie back on a Monday. And then head wrestling coach for Nebraska, Coach Mark Manning, going to be in studio. Excited to talk with him. Big-time event coming up at the Devaney Center this weekend. Plenty of thoughts on Urban invading Harbaugh land. That is good stuff. You'll hear from Coach Urban Meyer in the the 6,000-yard stare of Harbaugh NBA Finals Game 2 reaction to get to. You can tap the line. Schilling Bridge, Cork, and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. You can find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5. Or D Burke 5, forgive me here. I just fumbled.
No, you had it.
Danny Burke 5. Yep. Remember it, follow it, tweet at it. Adore it. But Luke McCaffrey is in. After much consideration, I am extremely blessed to announce that I am officially committed to the University of Nebraska. Scott Frost has his 2019 quarterback. Mario Verduzco tweeting out, the future has happened again. And the one thing you're going to notice about Nebraska football, because of Frost, because of Verduzco, because of the reputation, because of the Miltons and Mariotas and what's happened at Oregon, Scott Frost and his guy Mario are going to be fantastic. And I know that was the hype and build up of Riley with the quarterbacks he's put in the NFL from a pro style standpoint. But what you have as a fact is Scott Frost being just a gem at evaluation with quarterbacks, historically speaking. Same with Verduzco when it comes to training and test taking and mechanics and development. And that'll be the difference that makes Nebraska maybe 6-6, 7-5, 8-4 next year with a redshirt freshman or with a true freshman. And what you're going to do, what the plan is to space out accordingly. There's going to be competition. They're going to go after top-notch level talent. And the best man may win and have the job for a few years. You've got a quarterback transfer epidemic in college football. There's no escaping it. But what you have right now is a head coach, a play caller, and a position coach that are elite at seeing who they want, getting who they want, and kind of stacking and loading up a quarterback room for the present and for the future. And the names Nebraska was in on for 2019. They've talked to, they've visited, they've observed, they've evaluated Jaden Daniels. They've evaluated Michael Johnson Jr. They just had John Reyes Plumlee out of Mississippi in. And then there's Luke McCaffrey out of Valor Christian, the McCaffrey family. How many of you had Easy Ed McCaffrey on your fantasy football team? Former Giant, but he's best remembered for being a Denver Bronco. Tough dude, wore 87, started the fashion statement of junior high shoulder pads being worn at the NFL level. Well, he's had several children. Older brother is at Michigan. Luke McCaffrey, though, 2019, part of Nebraska, and Nebraska got their quarterback. So the way I'm looking at it here is Jaden Daniels, the top dual threat guy. He's a California kid. I think it's pretty safe to say the vibe and feel is that he's probably headed to UCLA and Chip Kelly. Fine. So that left Nebraska evaluating Michael Johnson Jr., John Rhys Plumlee, and Luke McCaffrey. And then you have the kid out of Houston, Shea. I'm not going to try and butcher his last name. But Mario's evaluated all these guys. He's seen them all throw. He has his pecking order, his wish list. Scott Frost has done the same. They probably came together, made a decision, and we need an answer. We want an answer. What do you think? Luke McCaffrey, 6'2", 180 pounds. And the schools after Luke McCaffrey, Colorado, not a shock, Duke, Ohio State, Michigan, Ole Miss, Carolina, North Carolina, UCLA, Virginia, Washington. Okay, Ole Miss, Michigan, they've done all right at quarterback. Now, they have the same quarterback playing for them now, Ole Miss to Michigan. But the point is these programs I've just kind of thrown out there, they are known for getting good quarterbacks. Ohio State's known for going to the college football playoff. Washington's known for going to the college football playoff. And their difference has been at Ohio State and at Washington and Josh Rosen at UCLA. And Duke's always had pretty good quarterbacks. All right. It's been their quarterbacks who've made or enhanced an offense, a system, and made those teams kind of what they are. And don't make no mistake about it. You're going to win in the trenches, in the Big Ten, in the non-conference. That's going to be the emphasis and the priority for Nebraska football, to be tough on the lines of scrimmage. But from a neon sign standpoint, what you get at quarterback is big, because that's who everyone else follows on offense. And you got Adrian Martinez, and that has looked really good thus far. Tristan Jebbia has looked really good thus far. You got Vedral back from Central Florida. That looks all right. Bunch has surprised and wowed some. Now you've got your cornerstone of your recruiting class, and you can start prepping and developing and having a really high-profile quarterback as part of your 2019 class. That's good. And the thing, just from watching film on McCaffrey, and I've watched a little bit of film, and let's just say I can't do what they do. Not when they were there, when I was their age, not now, right? Big shock. Listen, the guy's a playmaker, and he's a true dual threat, and he has a good arm and really good legs. And he's an athlete, okay? He's one of these guys that it's not hard for him to extend plays, do things well with his legs, and make the right read in this offense. But what the number one thing is for Coach Verduzco and Scott Frost is what kind of processor are you? What's your mind like? What's your mentality like? What's your makeup about between the ears? Are you nervous in big games? Do you get flustered in the moment? Do you have good instincts? Do you make the smart play? Do you make the right play? Are you a good teammate? I mean, all those things that you hear, that's huge with their evaluation. They're going to go watch and make sure the kid can throw. They're going to check out how mobile and athletic he is. They're going to see what type of athlete he can be and they can project him to be. But above all, I mean, is he a guy that is able to understand what you want to do, go out there and execute it? And when you have the athletic ability, the instincts, and they're going to make an offer and go after the guy they feel is best between the ears. Has leadership ability, has ability to see what they want done in this offense and then go execute it. So in some of the film sessions I watched and saw, the guy can make the throws at a high school level. But when it comes to separation with quarterbacks, it is that extending the play. It is his ability to run. It is his production as a ball carrier in the zone read. Those are all things along with the processing. You're getting a good athlete from a really good family. Dylan McCaffrey's at Michigan. Okay. And he was a highly sought after kid. And the other part of it, too, is you look at some off-the-field stuff based on his family, based on their values and how he's been brought up. It's intangibles that can be really good. He's a tough competitor. He's a good student from people I've talked to. And that is what's pretty nice. Now, you look at his numbers. McCaffrey, 54 of 71. That's 76%. That's shy of 900 yards. That's 6 touchdowns, 80 carries for just shy of 550 with 9 touchdowns. He also caught the ball, 19 for 147. That as a junior. As a sophomore, 47 for 717, 9 touchdowns, 23 for 245 and 2 touchdowns. Played defense. That talks a little bit to his toughness as a sophomore. 42 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, 2 picks, 4 pass breakups, fumble recovery. So Nebraska getting, in my opinion, the guy they wanted most. The guy that was probably at the top of their board. Or right near the top of your board. There's contingencies. If Jaden Daniels was who they liked best and the world likes best and California and Chip Kelly and UCLA are going to be it, and I don't think he's committed anywhere. But right now it's time to pull the trigger. Who wants to say, yes, I have one pass to come to Lincoln, Nebraska and be a quarterback as part of 2019? Who wants it? And it'll be interesting to get thoughts from Greg Smith here on John Ray's Plumlee. But Luke McCaffrey, man, being a four-star guy, being the son of a player like Easy Ed McCaffrey, having a brother that's at Michigan, and Scott Frost zeroing in along with Mario and getting the commitment for Luke McCaffrey, that's pretty monster. That's pretty major. Quarterback will be the decider, the difference maker for Nebraska football. It's been that when they've won big. It'll be that again when they come back.
No, yeah, it's great to see him signing and awesome to see the family line in the history. That just shows a lot to probably the expectations he has to live up to and what he's brought up upon. And also, I like that you mentioned that he played defense back in his sophomore year and had, 42 tackles, was mm-hmm. it? That's awesome, and that also speaks a lot to your character. And that's the kind of toughness you hope to see from your quarterback who's not afraid to get hit in any situations. I mean, depending on if, you know, you're trying to have him avoid injuries and whatnot. But, no, it's also cool to see that they have him, you know, quarterback/athlete, and that's what we see Nebraska recruiting a lot now for that quarterback position. So it's going to be cool to see what else they're going to utilize him in, like, what kind of other areas. So I'm excited to see what he's going to turn out to be.
Well, and you just get a kid that is really good. I mean, McCaffrey kids are recruited at a really high level. They're really strong players. They're at a powerhouse in Colorado at Valor Christian, and the guy's been a 2-year starter at quarterback. So it works well. Pretty good balance there between run and pass. What you do with the legs will help move this offense forward. And from a cerebral standpoint, the four domains of learning that have been written about with Mario Verduzco. And you'll want to check out the Hail Varsity yearbook because Brandon Vogel's got some dynamite stuff one-on-one with Mario Verduzco. It's a really good glimpse into the training, the preparation of quarterback play, and then getting kind of probably a look into who they want to go after as a recruit. I mean, think about that, man. Think about the quarterback spot that has broken teams. You're going after a kid. And I'm going to go back to post Tim Tebow at Florida. Okay? Who was Tim Tebow's backup before shenanigans allegedly in a dorm and a computer? It was Cam Newton. Mm. Okay?
That's right, yeah.
You have Cam Newton there. So when Tebow's finally gone, Cam Newton was supposed to be the next. Mm-hmm. Okay? And Urban may still be at Florida and not have health issues when he runs out of quarterbacks. Okay? Michigan's been a freak show at quarterback. Their best quarterback was the Iowa dude. Or was it the other way around? Was the Michigan guy that went to Iowa? Help me out here. Rudock? He ended up at Michigan. Yeah. He was an Iowa guy that went to Michigan. Michigan's been so-so at quarterback. The O-line's gotten their quarterbacks killed, but they are supposed to be up and up because, all right, you got Shea Patterson coming in. Ohio State, whatever you want to say about JT Barrett in the college football playoff games, all right, or some of the non-conference games. The guy was there 1,000 years, and he won a lot. They won a national championship without him, but he was still at like a 90% win percentage. And then with Penn State, McSorley. That guy's been incredible. They've had sick talent around him, but he's been phenomenal. He's made a lot of plays with his legs, with his arm, and that run-pass option stuff. And Nebraska is going to be able to do that at a high level with whoever wins the quarterback job this year, and they're stacking the old pantry with a guy like McCaffrey. Whether he starts, he'll at least push people for sure, and he'll compete, man. You're getting a competitor, you're getting a kid that's good between the ears, and you're getting an athlete. That's just major for Nebraska. Sounds like they got who they wanted, not settling. Although the choices were pretty good, and if you ask the coaches, they'll tell you there wasn't a bad choice. I think they got the guy they really, really like. Really like. We'll get Greg Smith's take on McCaffrey, the weekend of recruiting. As Mr. Greg was busy, we'll get caught up with Greg Smith next of Hail Varsity. Great to be with you on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Recruiting thoughts from Greg Smith next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
I am fired up. We have 13 minutes with Greg Smith, recruiting analyst, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Hits keep on coming for Nebraska. Grad transfer, JUCO, now quarterback of 2019, Mr. Luke McCaffrey. Greg, just like you planned it, Monday, 4:25 show appearance, and Luke says, let's do this thing. Nebraska, how are you, man?
I'm pretty good, man. If I wasn't recovered from the shenanigans of the wedding this weekend that I was the best man in, I'm definitely fired up and ready to go now because everything is happening.
It is, and let's talk about this timeline with Luke McCaffrey and really what Nebraska wanted to do at quarterback. You and I have talked once to twice a week with recruiting, okay? And the list of quarterbacks Nebraska has evaluated, visited, they've seen come in. You have Shea out of Houston we've talked about. Race Plumley was just here.
Yep.
Michael Johnson Jr., Jaden Daniels was considering Nebraska, even though it sounds like UCLA and Chip Kelly was his thing. Oh, yeah, and then there's Luke McCaffrey, who's phenomenal. I mean, he's a tough dude that's big and fast and can throw, and he fits that mental profile that Verduzco and Frost want. What are you surprised? Are you surprised Luke McCaffrey pulled the trigger with Nebraska?
No, not surprised. The thing I think that was holding this up a little bit, I guess, in the minds of some, is exactly kind of what you laid out. There were quite a few quarterbacks that were in the mix for these guys, and I think all of those guys, plus more, Mario Verduzco went out and personally saw throw during the evaluation period. But as it turns out, during that evaluation period, that when he saw Luke McCaffrey throw, Luke was amongst, if not the best guy that he saw throw to his evaluation, I'm told. And so McCaffrey was also only one of two quarterbacks that came through Lincoln throughout the spring. Rice Plumley, who, like you mentioned, was just here over the weekend, being the other. So it did add up and make sense that McCaffrey would join the fold.
So is this more of Nebraska getting who they want? And I don't mean this in a derogatory sense versus settling because of all the options out there. I mean, Nebraska could have gone toe-to-toe with anybody in the 2019 quarterback class because and other schools interested, don't you think, because of the Frost reputation and, by the way, this offense is fun?
Yeah, I think that they were going toe-to-toe with some big-time schools. You know, all of the guys that have been mentioned, whether it's Jaden Daniels, who they were in a battle with UCLA, Michael Johnson Jr. is also looking at Penn State and Miami. John Rice Plumley is looking at North Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi State, who's had good history with quarterbacks. And even a guy like Shea Sua-Noah, who's also looking at UCLA and Texas A&M. He was a little bit of a sleeper there. But even their sleepers at quarterback, Bucks had really good offers. No, I think they could have went toe-to-toe with anybody in any one of that, you know, top four or five group. Nebraska would have been thrilled to get, but I do think that Luke McCaffrey was either one or two on their board.
Greg Smith with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine recruiting analyst at Greg Smith HV. Follow him on Twitter. He'll have all the Luke McCaffrey news and updates for you. What do you like from watching film best about Luke McCaffrey?
Oh, he's a tremendous athlete. It's when you normally, and I just wrote this for the story that'll be going live here shortly, probably by the time we get off the phone, is that normally when a guy is sitting for a couple of years at quarterback in high school, he's probably sitting the bench a little bit, right? No, not McCaffrey. He's a good enough athlete that while he sat behind his five-star brother 2 years ago, while he sat behind a four-star quarterback that went to Colorado last year, he was playing wide receiver, he was playing running back, he was playing safety, he was returning kicks. He was doing a little bit of everything. He has a reported 4.5 40 time right now. He's a tremendous athlete. If you can get that combined with kind of, you know, what the football IQ is going to be coming out of that family, you know he's going to be able to process information. And Verduzco and Frost can get the mechanics where they want it and kind of refine his game, they'll have something special down the road here.
Well, that's just it. I watching him. Him with the zone read game, the speed you mentioned, but just throwing the ball. The guy's pretty smart with the ball and is really solid at extending plays. I mean, he kind of just screams dual threat, but not just an athlete throwing the football, but a thrower that's an athlete. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think you noted earlier his size, you know, about 6'3", 180, 190 will also serve him well, too, because, you know, you look at some of the quarterbacks like a McKenzie Milton that they've had with a little bit on the smaller size. McCaffrey's going to come in closer, maybe an inch taller than Adrian Martinez, and about as thick as Adrian Martinez as well. That's a good way to kind of round out that quarterback room. Plus, you need to put a little bit of space between either if it's Martinez, who's a true freshman, Jevy, who's a redshirt freshman. You got to put a little space there. And I don't want to say that McCaffrey's a project, but he's going to need a little bit of time to develop and get ready for college football, which is perfectly fine given the state of their quarterback room.
Well, their quarterback room. And Danny and I were just talking about that. You've got a good room now. You'll decide who starts for you next year. Presumably, whoever wins the job will fight to stay
right
behind center. You'll have that for 3-4 years. And from a McCaffrey standpoint, and I look at his brother, because his brother's been at Michigan. His brother hasn't won the job at Michigan, even though he's a five-star guy. It seems to me like you can be 5-star, 15-star, or 1-star if you're a McCaffrey. You're going to go earn the job, and you're not going to team hop. Otherwise, we maybe would have seen older brother take off.
Yeah, and that's a good point, especially considering Michigan bringing in Shea Patterson, mm-hmm. Who will presumably start for them this season. I think that that Dylan is probably a year away probably from being able to really compete for that job. But I think that that's a great point.
And kind of looking at it with Nebraska, if you redshirt your first year, you're a redshirt freshman, and going down the list, if you start by your redshirt sophomore year, that's still okay. It doesn't sound okay in the world of quarterback transfer, but it can happen. Sometimes you're ready a little bit later, Greg.
No, absolutely. And think about that. That's what, 3 years that we just laid out in the Zach Duvall program, which is something that I think if you're Coach Frost or Coach Verduzco, you definitely want to see those types of situations become commonplace.
Greg, last thought here on McCaffrey, and we'll get to the other two commits and additions. What's he need to work on, in your opinion? Is it just his size from a weight standpoint, or how raw is he as a thrower, in your opinion? I mean, where's some work need to be done?
Like you see with a lot of guys that are this athletic at that age, mechanics and refining your passing game, your footwork, making sure your arm slot is correct when you're throwing the ball. Luckily, in Nebraska's case, they have a guy in Coach Verduzco who loves to take on that role of being able to refine that part of a game for a quarterback and really thinks differently about quarterback play. So I think that he's in good hands with trying to get that fix going forward. But I would say mechanics and consistency is definitely something that he'd have to work on going forward.
Let's talk Vaha Vainuku, grad transfer. I know he spoke with Jacob Padilla earlier today on Hail Varsity, with Hail Varsity. And what's your take on him? I think he's a grinder. I think that's first and foremost what he's going to bring to the party. But what do you like about him coming to Lincoln?
You know, I like that he'll add maturity to the room. Like, being an older guy that's been through some hardships coming through college football because he's had the injuries and kind of battled through. And like you said, he's had to grind, and he's got kind of a second opportunity here. I really like that perspective that he's going to bring and that leadership ability that he should be able to bring to that room. And that's before you get to the fact that he should be a quality body at worst to just be a rotational player along that line. And to play, he could have the versatility to play all three positions along that line as well. I think there's a lot to like there, and I think it's a low-risk, high-reward type of move. It's something that you really – this is why Coach Frost has said over and over again throughout the spring and right after spring ball ended that they would love to be a couple of scholarships under that limit. They don't want to be right just at that 85 in case situations like this arise.
Let's talk Desmond Bland. Offensive tackle and All-American for Arizona Western. Sounds like he might be more of an interior guy. What do you like about him and what he can bring in 2019?
I like that he can potentially shore up a position here at Nebraska that has been kind of elusive over the last handful of years, and that's at the center position. I think that when he gets here in January for Nebraska, that he'll be able to compete right away for that starting center position, and I love the fact that he's going to help continue to keep that pipeline open to Arizona Western Community College. The head coach out there, Tom Minnick, is running a great program. He'll be the third guy from that school that's come in since Scott Frost and company took over. So really looking forward to that, in addition to Desmond being a really good offensive lineman.
Greg, what's going on later this week? I know another bunch of camps. Nebraska will be on the road, I think, down at FIU as well. Give us kind of the outline of the week that you're looking for.
Yeah, they'll definitely be hitting some camps later in this week, but also keep an eye on the guys coming through campus. As we talked about some of the guys that were here this past weekend, there's an offensive lineman here right now, probably finishing up his visit, Matthew Anderson from Leesville, Louisiana. He could definitely be on commit watch. There's another linebacker that was also just here, Jackson Hanna, who I have an article posting here soon about from – oh, I just lost it. He's from Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. Four-star inside linebacker. That's a very good player who also could be on commitment watch. So Nebraska's got a lot going on coming up here this week.
All right, no more weddings this weekend, or are you having to attend another one?
No, I'm permanently staying home now because I'm the bad luck. When I told Brandon Vogel that I would be gone for the weekend, I go, hey, watch, there'll be a surprise commit or two.
Or two.
And I should not have said that, but now I feel bad.
It's all good. Greg Smith, please read him, HailVarsity.com. Great stuff on this upcoming week. Great reaction to Luke McCaffrey's commitment to Nebraska, the quarterback for 2019. Can follow and find Greg on Twitter as well, at Greg Smith HV. Greg, we'll get caught up again. Thanks for the time. Great stuff, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Talk to you soon.
See, all right, there he is. Greg Smith with us on Hail Varsity. There's your rundown on Luke McCaffrey. One or two on Nebraska's board. Very athletic, a tough dude. And he's set behind some talent. And he still got snaps at quarterback, and he played wide out, and he played defense, and it was pretty good. I want to remind you about your friends at Madonna Therapy Plus. Concussions, nothing to ignore anymore. It's not just a bump on the head. Research confirms concussions must be identified immediately, managed properly, and quickly for full recovery. You got a sports-related injury for your son or daughter, your athlete in the family, Madonna Therapy Plus is who you trust. A tailored program for young athletes through every stage of recovery. The treatment plan is the most advanced with techniques and technology. It'll get your athlete back in the classroom. Log on today, Madonna Therapy Plus. Three locations in Lincoln, one in West Omaha. Madonna Therapy Plus. Luke.org.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
If you're just jumping in the old car, Luke McCaffrey, four-star dual threat out of Valor Christian in Colorado, your 2019 verbal committed quarterback for Nebraska. Try and get Luke on. And I want to say Christian. I want to say Ed, but I will make sure I say Luke. Okay? And Ed is his father. Good stuff from Greg Smith the last 15 minutes. We'll see if we can't run down Luke next hour here on Hail Varsity. Coming up, Coach Manning, Husker Wrestling. Great event coming up here for the World Championships at the Devaney Center. Coach Manning next hour. Charlie McBride will be with us in about 15 minutes. 466-377-6800-825-5865. You can tap the line, Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House lets you do that. Do you believe in the Curry effect? Do you believe that it is a thing, it is real?
Can't say I knew he had 9 threes or it was a finals record, but you definitely notice the looks on their faces when he hits some of the shots. It's like dagger after dagger. Play great defense and he pull up and hit a three in your face. You definitely notice, you know, the effect that it has on the opposing team.
Okay, what is the Curry effect? It is, in his own words, momentum.
Any of the type of those moments, when you can come down and answer and keep the momentum on our side, it's big. Keep the crowd into it.
The thing that happens with Steph Curry, you know, when he drills a three, you have, I can equate it to a fullback scoring a touchdown for Nebraska. The fury is unleashed at Memorial Stadium. All right. Think about when Jano put one in against Wisconsin a couple years back. Place was still shaking. Think about when Makavica gave some piggyback rides. Place went nuts. And Schlesinger against Miami, back-to-back. That's 20-plus years ago, but you get my point. A little different, more meat and potatoes way to put some points up with your fullback. But Curry had an answer. Hit threes, he didn't shoot great, but he shot great from three, 9 for 17. And that's been set up through his ball handling, through some slip screens they ran. They scored on 5 of them last night, Golden State did. And then he's not been afraid to get to the rim. A lot of three-point shooters, man, they just can't catch fire. But Clay and Steph do a pretty good job of getting to the rim, more so Steph. He's had a lot of paint points. And he's not just settled for threes. Most of them have been in rhythm, and when he's been off, he's bounced back. And Danny, that was just, it got from bad to ugly for Cleveland last night. They try and keep it within a reachable distance between, you know, 28-24, and then it'd grow to 6, and then it'd grow to 10, timeout. They'd chop it back down, and then it grew to 10 or 11. Then it got to 13, and then it got to 18, and then it finished the way it finished. And there was always an answer from Curry if somebody from Cleveland, LeBron, would hit a big shot, because, you know, it wasn't JR. And that's just how Game 2 went. Game 3, you have Cleveland dogged by 5.5. We'll get your thoughts here coming up. Danny Cassino, the pride of Chicago, on that. But after game one, it was probably going to be a guaranteed loss for Cleveland. From a body language standpoint, I don't think you saw this. Listen, he had 29 points. LeBron was phenomenal last night, but he wasn't game one phenomenal when they were right there to win it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, talking about Steph, he's the ultimate momentum killer. Anytime you try to come back a little. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that too. But just for the Cavs, like you said, anytime they would inch a little bit closer, he'll just hit a three. And it's different when he hits it than when someone else does, because he'll do his little celebration or it'll be some kind of circus shot, and then the crowd just gets even more into it every single time.
It's not quite the Fortnite dance.
No.
But it is. But here's the thing. He hits one, and immediately the body language and facial expression of the opposing team, it becomes that oh moment, mm-hmm. because he just hit one. Is he going to bury us with three more,
you
four
know
more
consecutive?
You know he's
chucking up another one coming back down
he
the
floor. Mm-hmm. He is. Yeah. He got one. There's some blood in the water. Now he's going to attack. LeBron was asked about losing and if it's taking a toll on him. Pretty thoughtful comment. And he has had to, aside from Kevin Love, haul a bunch of slugs around. It's becoming more and more evident. This finals run and soon-to-be finals loss may be his best work ever, even in a losing cause.
I mean, it sucks to lose. It sucks when you go out there and you give it everything that you have, and you know, you prep and you know your mind is in it and your body is in it, and you come out on a losing end. But nothing would ever take the love of the game away from me. I think the competition. Something I live for, something I wake up every day and train my body for and train my mind for. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks to lose, that's for sure, but it definitely won't stop me from, you know, preparing, you know, to be better the next day.
He's going to keep preparing. It's their last stand coming up here Wednesday. I mean, Monday was do or die, or the game one was do or die. This is the sequel to that. If they want to keep playing ball at all. And the odds are astronomical about Golden State winning this series. And LeBron last night asked if the odds bother him at all, and he had a pretty good response here.
No, I really get caught up in that. I mean, the odds been against me since I was 5-6 years old. You know, so, you know, we're talking about basketball here, you know. It seems like I come up here and tell you guys this all the time. The odds has been stacked up against me since I was, you know, an adolescent. So, you know, I put our team in position to try to win a championship, to compete for a championship. And, you know, it's my job to make sure that we're as focused, as laser focused as possible, do my job, and continue to instill confidence into my teammates until the last horn sounds. So, that's my job. That's my responsibility. That's my obligation, and I need to continue to do that.
I retweeted this. There is footage out from Game One before overtime starts from the NBA of Cleveland's bench after the JR, oops, I'm really not playing for the other team moment. And there's nearly three minutes of the Golden State fan base going nuts. That energy going obviously to Golden State. But just the illustration and visualization of dejection, where no words for 2.5 to 3 minutes during commercial break were spoken. Nobody looked at JR. Like towards the end, when Lou came to sat down with his little whiteboard, he had a couple of guys just, you know, give him a little hat. LeBron had no eye contact. LeBron set a seat aside. There was nothing. There was silence. The only thing missing was shaking and eyes shutting left and right.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to be back with you. It's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More news and info on Luke McCaffrey out on HailVarsity.com. Greg Smith all over it. At Greg Smith HV. Good to get caught up with Greg. Nebraska has another commit for 2019, their quarterback, and we're efforting Mr. Luke McCaffrey next hour. We have tremendous coach, Mark Manning, Husker Wrestling, coming in about 30 minutes. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Going to be with us. Can tap the line. Chillingbridge Cork and Tap House. Let's do that. 466-3776-800-825-5865. Reaction to the Pac-12 stepping up. They may not be doing it on the field for non-con. or even winning bowl games, but they're going to make you earn it to get to a bowl game from now on. Rule just passed today that the Pac-12 will require their teams to win six to get to a bowl game, like it should be. The 5-7, oh, you're good in school, come on down to the Foster Farms, ain't going to crack it anymore. Approval from Danny Cassino, yay or nay on that?
I mean, yeah, it makes sense. I get why you'd maybe have it before where you just allow whatever team, you know, the whole revenue, ticket sales, blah, 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 all that crap. But no, I'm definitely in favor for the six wins. You know, you got to earn it.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Despite 5-7, man, you felt okay about six. I mean, you didn't feel okay, but you talked yourself into a little less hate.
Mm-hmm.
When you beat Rosen and UCLA, they were 8-4, 8-5. I don't know. They underachieved every year with Mora there. And after his first couple of years, despite first round pick upon first round pick, and you felt okay about 6-7. You were glad to go.
Mm-hmm.
As many close games as you lost that year, and you said, "Well, go 5-7 and get to a bowl game." Then you slap UCLA around, most physical football game of the Riley era. You know why? Because they knew it. They knew UCLA. They knew Patty Cake was going to be played, and they got after it. They got physical. They used the quarterback run game, which Nebraska will be using with whoever's under center next year, and that's a major strength of Luke McCaffrey, 4-star quarterback who's committed. That's pretty good stuff. He's fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's fun to watch, and I know that it's brutal to overhype, but between family and skill set and speed and fit with really good coaches, you got to feel really good if you're a Nebraska fan. Sauter Hamill will make you feel good when it comes to savings, when it comes to selection, when it comes to pure-grown diamonds. Nebraska's exclusive dealer, Sauter Hamill, of pure-grown diamonds. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mine diamonds. They're eco-friendly. They're 100% sustainable. They are beautiful. Customers have made them one of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Hamill history. Go see why. Go check them out yourself at locations for you in Lincoln to go see Rick and Sauter Hamill. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln. Or out west with your friends at Sauter Hamill in Grand Island. Can log on today. SauterHamon.com. Okay, we'll have some blips from Greg Smith out there on Hail Varsity and the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. Good stuff from Greg on Luke McCaffrey. Coach McBride next hour to Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in Hour 2 at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride back with us. Coach, how are you today?
Good. Just painting.
How's the painting going? We talked to you Thursday, and you were getting to get on it, and now you've, how much is done?
I do the lower level, and I have a kid over here that's doing the upper level.
Okay, that makes sense, man. I'm not a heights guy.
A ladder.
No, that's fine. I'm not a heights guy. Did you like to?
No, me neither. Well, I got orders not to get on one.
Okay, that's fine. I like those orders. That's good. let's spend time here. Nebraska just got a quarterback commit out of Colorado, Luke McCaffrey, and. Mm-hmm. I kind of want your assessment of Scott when it comes to quarterback evaluation. You've seen how he's worked with Mariota when he was at Oregon, and you saw Milton down at Central Florida between Coach Frost and Coach Verduzco. Just kind of the upside of being a quarterback under Scott Frost.
Well, I think they're going to do nothing but get better right away. I think they're the one thing is I think the attitude of the coaching staff is going to really be a plus for anybody that comes in. I think they're strong character guys, and I think that's probably, of course, that family has a few people, I think, probably in it that have done some things in their life, and, you know, I guess his brother's on playing with the Panthers now. He's got another brother playing at Michigan, and he's got people all over the place. But I think that, you know, when you have families with people that are, you can get information from, and I assume they were open, you know, not telling him what to do, that the whole thing was pretty much okayed by other people. You know, in other words, he made his decision and the family okayed it. I think that's kind of what happened. But I think that that's, you know, I can't see a kid coming to Nebraska where they're not going to get to be a better quarterback, you know, and especially he's going to grow in this system. And that's what's really important, your intelligence and things like that, picking up stuff.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, is there a quarterback, maybe this is blasphemy here, but is there a quarterback that you played against, your defense went against, that you have the utmost respect for above all? Is there a quarterback in all your years?
Really, I think I go back to the, you know, you have to, we played so much option, and I still go back to Oklahoma had, you know, a couple of two or three guys that were, you know, exceptional, and they were exceptional people. I think they only had one that was not right there, but all of them, you know, turned out to be very good people after they played, not only, and you can tell, you know, how they played, their leadership and stuff like that. But, you know, when you look back at quarterbacks, the best, this is good crazy, nobody will even know this guy, but the best quarterback that I was ever saw on a field was a guy named Burt Jones.
I've heard of him. He played for the Saints, didn't he?
Yeah, and he played at LSU, and I was at Wisconsin, and they had four good quarterbacks coming out that year, and he could run, he could throw, and he was the most accurate of all of them. And then I think he had some kind of injury. He went and played a few years, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years in the NFL, and then I think he got hurt and never did play again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that guy's name sticks in my mind for so long that, you know, I was so impressed with him that, you know, I just never forgot him. And but there's been a lot of people that we've played. I mean, I don't know how you can sort them out. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of hard. But those people, you know, that you know about, probably the best ones I've been around are the ones we had.
Sure.
You know, they fit into our offense, and, you know, I don't know that anybody threw the ball really better with our staff than Turner Gill did. Mm. You know, he was probably a thrower plus and a runner second, really. You know, and in most cases, our theory in recruiting was run first, pass second. Mm-hmm. But he could do both, and but he had an arm that was exceptional. And at that time, the NFL was shying away from minority quarterbacks, you know, how that goes. Mm-hmm. And he ended up going to Canada, which was good. But I think concussions stopped that, and he went to baseball and then into coaching. Mm-hmm.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, three Huskers are up for the College Football Hall of Fame. I know you were with Grant and Coach Osborne when Grant got nominated, inducted, and part of the award ceremony for the College Football Hall of Fame. Two names that played when you coached at Nebraska. Eric Crouch is up. This is his eighth time on the ballot. and
Zach Wiegert.
Yeah, this is his fourth time on the ballot.
Well, I voted today, and I voted for those two and Larry Jacobson.
Yes, yes.
And those are two of the. We had 12 votes.
Okay.
And you know, I've kind of stuck with the people that I've seen play and. You know, along the way and things like that. So, you know, the one kid that I voted for, kid named Jerry Wood that played up at Northern. Okay. And when I was coaching, I heard so much about him. And we had him as a helper in camp one year, and the guy was special. You know, he just was a good, you know, just a solid. He could have played anywhere. He could have been a quarterback. He could have been a running back, a defensive back. He could have been a lot of things. And, you know, that's why, you pick some guys out that probably not a lot of people are going to vote for, just because we're there. You know, we're there. Division One now is a lot of those schools have stepped up, so you know they probably aren't going to get the votes that the bigger schools get.
What's one thing that sticks out to you about Wiegert?
Consistency, tough. I mean, the guy was a leader, and he was tough now. I mean, he didn't take anything from anybody. I mean, he was boss, you know, and that's what you have to be. You got to go out and just say, I'm boss, and that's the way it is, and that's the way he played. Mm. And I mean, if there was any talk, you know, he could talk trash with anybody you got. And, you know, if somebody said something, they'll tell you the play. He'd tell them what the play was. It's coming right over here. You know, and that's the kind of kid he was, how much confidence he had in himself. You know, and so, you know, I don't think there's anybody on that thing that I voted for that doesn't, you know, deserve it. But there's so many other people, it's crazy. I mean, it's just a big load of, you know, you've probably seen the list. But
yes, 76 great, great players.
Yeah, I mean, you pick 12 guys out of there, and, you know, and you don't even have to pick 12. But that's why I said I tried to pick the guys that I've seen play before, knew about them, and you know, there was one of the kids I recruited, in fact, and he got hurt, and everybody dropped him. It was a kid from Valparaiso, a tackle. And he went on to the NFL and played. That's kind of how I voted. I can't vote for somebody that, you know, that I haven't seen play or haven't played against or, you know, know what he's made of. So I don't have trouble with it. A lot of people are scrambling around trying to guess. You know,
you know who you're going after. Did Wiegert ever, when you guys were scrimmaging, did Wiegert ever tell your front four where the play was going?
No.
He saved it for the opponent.
I don't think he wanted to.
I had to ask.
I think it was an intimidation factor. I think some of those guys had so much confidence in themselves. You know, they didn't try to, you know, intimidate their friends or anything like that. But I know there's the word's been out that some of those guys have, you know, had done that and against good people too. You know, and so. That's just the way he is, but he's still boss. You know what I'm saying? And he's a guy that's you know, comes from a little town, little school. Went and watched him play in high school. 6'5". You know, you knew then he was a kid that blocked you in a nasty vein. In other words, he just tried to, you know, take you right out of the stadium. And, you know, he would have been a heck of a defensive player, too. And but I think that the athletic part of him was, and a lot of our offensive linemen were really good athletes. You know, there was There was a lot of guys that played basketball and things like that. So wrestled and did all kinds of stuff. They were, you know, they weren't just one sport guys.
Coach, before we go, sad news last week, Brian Nunn's passing away.
Oh, boy.
And I remember hearing the name and hearing a lot about him, but mm-hmm. What do you remember about Nunzi, as he was called?
Nunzi was, I'll tell you what, he was a hard-working kid. I mean, he was one of those guys in the weight room all the time. He never, I know he got discouraged at times because he wasn't playing as much as, you know, he would like, but he was, you know, he was one of the guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he very, you know, he was in the crowd of the, you know, he wasn't just a guy that hung around on the outside. But he had all those guys. I mean, every one of them. I don't know one person that just didn't think the world of him. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he'd go out of his way to say hello to you. He'd go, just a good guy. And, you know, that hurts when you get, you know, you get young guys, and I'm sitting here, you know, thinking, you know, I'm really lucky to even be this far along. And,
sure.
And then kids like that lose 10 or 15 years behind me, or, you know, it really doesn't make you feel good.
Well, you know? No, I got you.
When you were close to him, I mean, even though he was an offensive guy, he, you know, we were around them all. I mean, you know, it wasn't like we just stayed on one side of the field or the other. But, you know, you can ask anybody. I mean, he cared about everybody, and he, you know, he was just a regular guy, part of the crowd, and he was tough. Now, he was a tough guy. I think his agility and some of those things slowed him down a little bit, hurt him a little bit. But, you know, as far as getting after people, he'd do that.
Well, it sounds like, Coach, and thanks for sharing some thoughts, that he made the team and the program better.
Yep, he's one of those guys that stayed and fought his guts out to play and did play some, but he stayed. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of guys that people don't ever get recognized. And, you know, at one time, you know, I asked Tom, I thought maybe we could take some of the guys we had. It got a little bit too many numbers, but, mm-hmm. you know, after they left, that just to send them a black shirt, you know, wherever they live, maybe a year or so later. Did it to a few of them and stuff like that, and then thought maybe it's going to get out of hand, and we didn't. We stopped doing it. But, you know, I felt like there's, and in his case, you know, he wasn't a defensive guy, but it was, you know, I think the black shirt was still important to a lot of guys that played defense.
Well, great representation of the program and thoughts to his family and his teammates. Coach, thanks for sharing some thoughts on Brian Nunn's, and appreciate your time today.
The guys loved that kid. I mean, they really loved him. You can ask Jason Peter anything about him. He really knows him well. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, they're really buddies. And, mm-hmm. and that, I don't know, it just hurts.
Yeah. Coach, we'll get caught up next week. And
okay.
God bless you. Thanks for the time today.
Yep. Okay. Talk to you later.
See you, Coach. Okay. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. And very sad about Brian Nunn's. And he was, there's so many guys on those championship teams that just smile and when they would talk about him. And he's a guy that gave everything to the program. He was a Lincoln High kid, and he could have gone a lot of places. He wanted to play ball in Nebraska. So he'll be remembered on Wednesday at Christ Lutheran with his funeral. Quick timeout. We will get in touch with Coach Mark Manning. Husker Wrestling, great event coming up here at the Devaney Center on Saturday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Coach McBride. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Head wrestling coach Mark Manning. And you got the U.S. Senior World Team opportunity to compete. And it sets up here at the Devaney Center. The winners head off to the World Wrestling Championships in Budapest, Hungary, October 20th through the 28th. Coach Mark Manning in studio. Coach, what's up, man? How are you?
Doing great, Chris. Thanks for having us on.
Well, man, thanks for coming in. I love touching base with you and catching up. And got a star-studded event coming up on Saturday. Starts at 6 at the Devaney Center. And first and foremost, just the fact that Lincoln's got another event in town. Yeah. You had an event last year, obviously. Speak to that for a moment with the passion in the state for wrestling, and then it being noticed by those who make decisions to have qualifying events for championships.
Yeah, exactly, Chris. A little bit, just like, you know, USA Volleyball was here, you know, a few weeks ago. You know, having that international competition in sports like volleyball and wrestling, you know, Olympic sports. Well, what does that mean? That means guys like Jordan Burroughs and James Green. Mm-hmm. These guys are pros, and they've made world teams and Olympic teams. But the deal is this: this is the highest level they have an opportunity to compete at, and that is the world championships every year. And then every 4 years, everyone knows the Olympics comes along. So they, you know, we're not a mainstream sport like Major League Baseball or NBA or NFL football. So, you know, there's four weight classes here on Saturday night from, you know, starting at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a social. Nebraska Wrestling Training Center is going to host a social at 3 p.m. At the Mill on Innovation Campus.
Okay.
Ahead of time. And then we're going to have an after party down at gate 25 after
the good spot.
Yeah, that's right. A good watering hole for the celebration after James and Jordan make James would be his fourth world team if he wins, and Jordan his eighth world team. So two guys that are world class Huskers that are competing for Team USA.
That, you know, and people hear about Jordan Burroughs and James Green, and take me through what each have been up to get to this point, a chance to be, you know, on Team USA yet again, but what they've been involved with and how things have gone. First about Jordan, and then tell me about James.
Jordan Burroughs has been in Lincoln, Nebraska 12 years, which is crazy. He's 29 years old, so it's pretty impressive. His record speaks for itself, you know, four-time world champion, Olympic champion, and now his journey is still going on. So he could go down as, you know, one of the best wrestlers ever in U.S. history. He's already on that trajectory, but for him to really just set himself apart, and, you know, the world championship is our Super Bowl, so got to make the world team, and which is only one guy. You know, it's not like three guys or four guys get to wrestle in the world. It's only one, and so he's got a tough guy on Saturday, and Israel Martinez, two-time national champ from Illinois, and then James Green has Jason Chamberlain, who is an NCAA champion for Boise State. So both those guys are proven, and so James and Jordan have to bring their best on Saturday, and they best two out of three, and so mano-a-mano, going to be great, and these guys are ready to rock and roll. You know, representing Team USA is a big deal, and hopefully fans come out and watch these guys and cheer them on, because it's a very unique opportunity, and vote, and plus just to see world-class wrestlers.
Absolutely. Can log on. FinalX.tv is where you can get tickets if you want to attend. At 6 o'clock, Bob Devaney Sports Center, USA Wrestling. Husker Wrestling Coach Mark Manning in studio with us. Jordan Burroughs and James Green going to be rocking and rolling, wearing the red, white, and blue yet again to represent Team USA. Let's talk about Burroughs and Martinez. Martinez pretty good at getting out of escaping, correct? That's one of his strengths.
Yeah.
What, without giving the playbook away here, what are some things that the Jordan skill sets and the best skill sets in wrestling, how they match up well with Martinez, and how some things that Martinez, I guess, can do to that other wrestlers can't do against Jordan or potentially can't do?
Yeah, you know, he's a real strong, powerful guy. You know, he really tries to overwhelm you. He really brings a lot of energy, and and effort and really tries to overpower people. So it's going to be great. I hope he wrestles that way. I'm not sure that he will attack Jordan that way. But, you know, you mess with the bull, you get the horn. So Jordan is a powerful guy, explosive guy. And so I think Jordan's wrestled a lot of guys, you know, over the course of years. He's ready for a lot of different styles. But really, he just has to bring his energy and his effort to the mat and just do his thing, and he'll be okay, you know.
Mark Manning's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. You have the Final X in Lincoln Saturday, June 9th. Bob Devaney Sports Center starts at 6. You got a social at the Mill on Innovation Campus. Folks can pop by, see you, enjoy some refreshments and hanging out at 3 before the event gets going. An after party at Gate 25, which will be tremendous. And you have you have 7 bouts here that will be going, and you have, of course, James Green gets things kicked off. Yep. You have Jordan Burroughs later on in the evening. And then just from the roster and the setup from what you've seen, kind of touch on the other wrestlers that'll be here for this Final X event.
Well, we're really lucky. USA Wrestling decided to have 4 weight classes here. There's 10 total. That's the signature Final X type of symbol. Mm-hmm. But so we have 4 weights. So Thomas Gilman, former Omaha Scott wrestler.
Okay.
Don't hold it against it. He wrestled at Iowa, but he was a world silver medalist last year. And wow. Obviously Thomas is here, and he's wrestling Dayton Fix, junior world champion, his wrestler for Oklahoma State. Going to be a great matchup. And then Kyle Schneider, who is also a very decorated 2-time world champion, Olympic champion, wrestled at Ohio State. Thank God he has no eligibility left, so we don't have to mess with him anymore. But Kyle is an awesome young man, and he's here, and he's wrestling Kyvan Gasson, a former national champion from Iowa State. So there's some really great matchups, and then we have 3 women weights wrestling also. So those people that have never watched women's wrestling, there's 6 weight classes in the Olympics, same as 6 men. Mm-hmm. And those girls, they can scrap. They can get after it. So it's really good. They're very dedicated to the sport like the men, and unique opportunity for people to watch that if they've never seen it.
I want to focus on Snyder for a second, because he wrestled as a heavyweight, but he was undersized, wasn't
yes.
he?
Yes, he only weighs about 230, and he wrestles at 97 kilos. So he's around 220, 222 pounds, and he's a beast. He's an awesome kid, great character, hard worker. Just really fits in well with a guy like Jordan. Jordan's mm-hmm. been a really good mentor to him, and he's just a fun guy to be around, fun competitor. And, he has a guy in Kyvan Gasson to wrestle, mm-hmm. who Kyvan actually beat him in the NCAA finals 3 years ago. So
it's a Michigan kid, right?
He's Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Iowa
right.
State,
yep.
Yeah. And so it's kind of ironic that they hit, but they just haven't wrestled that many times okay. in freestyle wrestling. But Kyle is a very accomplished guy, as we know. But those guys are great people. Besides being great wrestlers, people are going to see people get out on the mat, and they're great wrestlers, and they just bring great values mm-hmm. that they learned along the sport along the way in their sport, and that's why I would want my kids around those type mm-hmm. of guys. So,
what's Jordan been going through leading up to this? I mean, how does he? You know him so well. You've coached him, you trained him, you recruited him. How does he get into that? That zone.
Yeah, that
mindset. Can you explain that?
Yeah, you know what? It kind of starts in his training a little bit, and then especially as it gets into this week, last week, he just super competitive in every drill, him and James. It's good, you know. It's like having 2 penned up dogs, you know. Mm-hmm. They're just getting ready for battle. Can't get too hyped, but you can just tell. They're itching to get out there, and we want them, you know, not to wear them down too much. So there's a little method in the madness as far as the training and getting them prepared so they bring out their best on Saturday, not in the best, you know, today.
Don't peak too early.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they're pros at what they do, so they know how to get themselves geared up. And then we always throw in a little just little tidbits at the end to get them, you know, extra fired up come game day.
Coach, talk to me a little bit with what you can. We got a couple minutes left here this segment. Yeah. From a recruiting standpoint, how things are going for you and Husker wrestling here this summer?
Really good. It's you know, we were recruiting all the time, so it's really going well. We have six young men that just started today in Summer Bridge, and they're in first, you know, glimpse of college life and you know, starting a whole new chapter of their life. It's exciting for us as coaches to see these guys get here, and then they're just immediately starting to get integrated into our program and the culture here at Nebraska. So that's great, but recruiting's going really well. There's a lot of interest in our program. You know, it's just being where we're at in the Big Ten, it's very competitive. Penn State, Iowa, Ohio State, it's going on and on. So it's very competitive, but we have a great product, and it's just a great place. I love it. It's very special, and, you know, a lot of young men out there are really interested in our program, and they're just interested in seeing what they can do here for Nebraska.
It's Mark Manning, head coach, Nebraska Wrestling, a tremendous event. The Final X in Lincoln, June 9th. Of course, Jordan Burroughs, James Green, two Husker standouts that are going to be punching their ticket, we think, to the Team USA once again. Starts at 6. Don't forget, you want to hang out. You want to get going before the match. The Mill, an event will be at the Mill on Innovation Campus. After party. Coach and company going to be down at Gate 25 on Saturday. So you got the pre and the post, and then you got the event itself that starts at 6. Log on, get tickets today. Go support two amazing Huskers, Coach Manning and his kids. FinalX.tv is where you can log on. Coach, hang out if you want. If you got to run, I get it too. Thanks for popping by.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate you guys.
Mark Manning, head coach, Nebraska Wrestling, a quick timeout. Urban Meyer went to Michigan. And Jim Harbaugh got to watch. I'll tell you about it. And Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
This day will go down in infamy if you're a Michigan fan, if you're an Ohio State fan. Well, you just keep smiling. Urban Meyer made a visit because the Best of the Midwest camp is going on at Grand Valley State. That is in Michigan. That's a D2 school in Michigan. Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, there at the same time. Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh. So when it was Urban's turn to speak, and this from the Detroit Free Press, he got in front of the campers. What did he talk about? Being 6-0 against Michigan? Being 3-0 against Harbaugh? No. He talked about consistency with Jim Harbaugh watching Urban speak to Michigan kids 15 feet away.
He's always been fairly consistent the last few years. And we're very fortunate at Ohio State. In the last 6 years, more players drafted really than anybody in the country. I've been around and able to coach from Zeke Elliott to Bosa's to JT Barrett, et cetera, et cetera. And we get to go out and recruit the best players in America. And it's no different. When you take the grade school jump to high school, the high school jump to college, and then college jump to the NFL, it's really consistent.
Okay, so it's consistent. The jump is the jump. And again, Jim Harbaugh is watching Urban Meyer speak to Michigan kids at a Best of the Midwest football camp. This is too good. This is too glorious. Did I tell you Jim Harbaugh got to watch Urban Meyer walk in a 2014 college football playoff national championship Ohio State zip-up? Hilarity. Okay. So this is Urban. You've heard the consistency. We recruit the best. We get drafted, we being Ohio State players, to the NFL, the most in the Big Ten. So what's the focus? Urban gets specific here about the focus on top of just getting into the fact that they just send guys to the NFL and they only take the best in front of Jim Harbaugh, who he's 3-0 against.
And what happens, I look at it, there's a lot of young faces right now, and a lot of times there's confusion. The confusion from the parents, there's confusion within you. And there's nothing worse than a confused player. I call that player in conflict. For example, if I coach a player in college that's in conflict, he does not develop. And then when a professional coach comes in to visit with me and starts asking me about our players, if their whole focus is on getting to the NFL, that's not what the NFL coach is looking for.
That is pointed. That is twisting. That is beautiful. There's been a lot of conflict at Michigan. 15 offensive coordinators. I exaggerate, but you get my point. What are they doing at quarterback? What do they want to do at offense? You got an NFL guy now in college. Harbaugh's phenomenal. I mean, I like him. I think he's really good, but he's not Urban. And read into it how you want. Is Urban in conflict? No, he's a college football coach. Is Jim in conflict? Does he ever want to go back to the NFL? Does he want to find his way to Indy someday? Coach Andrew Luck, didn't happen yet, but maybe it does. I mean, you can read into these subtle, pointed messages all you want. Urban's not finished because he's a name-dropping son of a bee.
Bill Belichick will come in. He'll ask me two very critical questions. What kind of teammate is he, and how does he perform in the big game? He didn't ask me how he runs around in shorts and T-shirts and what's his 40 time and those type of things. I'm going to say it again. He has two questions. And he wants to know what kind of teammate you are. I'm the same. We have 10 coaches on our staff, same thing. We have some great high school coaches here. I'll walk into your program. I'm not going to say, how did he run his shorts? How did he do this? How did he do that? I don't ask that. That's our coach's job, to find out your measurables.
Urban's here for two things. So is Bill Belichick. And it's not to drink beer and kick butt because he's out of beer. Two things. Urban Meyer, Bill Belichick, keep name dropping.
What kind of teammate are you? What does that mean? When things get really, really hard, which is about to happen in about 2 months, really hard. I mean, it's not going to be air conditions. It's going to be awful situations you're put in. How are you as a teammate? Are you selfish? Do you worry about yourself? Do you tap out of things? When it gets real rugged and tough, do you back out? Or is that when you go your best? And then how do you play in a big game? I have no desire to watch a game when you beat the hell out of someone 40-0. I quit watching. I don't want to see that. I want to see you in your rivalry game. I want to see you on fourth down. How do you perform on fourth down when the team needs you?
Whew. All within a button hook route from quarterback to tight end. That's the distance between Harbaugh watching Urban Meyer and Urban Meyer speaking in the state of Michigan to Michigan kids about how you perform. How did Michigan finish last year? They went 8-5. How did their fourth quarters finish? Poorly. Is the NFL emphasis the end-all, be-all? Is that what Harbaugh's selling to get kids to Michigan? Maybe. And don't kid yourself. Ohio State and Michigan recruit the same kid. They go to the IMGs. They go to Texas. Go to Florida. They get to Cali. They hit the Ohio Valley. They get Detroit. I mean, they hit Cleveland, okay? They do it all. But the last part here, part five, is the emphasis on what you're evaluating. Real, or is it pajamas time? Urban said that how many times in the five clips about watching and what you do and how you perform when you're not in pajamas. A similar take by Coach Frost and his staff. Workouts are good. Camps are important. But how do you do it when it's for real on the field versus a Manning Passing Academy where there's no pass rush? It's just drill work. Here's Urban Meyer.
Not when you're running around in shorts and T-shirts and doing vertical jumps. That's okay, but that's not what we look for.
There's a context. Danny, you seem thoroughly entertained.
I love it. I'm all here for the pettiness between the coaches. I love it.
Well, it's a Nike get-together, the best of the Midwest. Mm-hmm. You're going to get there. You're not going to miss an opportunity to see some kids, to evaluate.
I can just only imagine what Harbaugh was thinking in that moment. He was
He's just standing back there.
He's just ready to explode, I feel like.
Well, and Jim's an intense dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, super intense. You know the pressure's right.
Urban just alphaed him in his own territory. That's the best part about it.
Oh, it is. And he just alphaed him.
Yeah.
And he did it with... It's not like he's going into a recruit's living room and blasting the guy behind his back. Oh, no. He did it. He did it a first down marker away.
That's just what you needed in the offseason, too. That's just perfect stuff right there.
Well, I think Urban may be a little tired of Harbaugh takes France.
Yeah.
Harbaugh goes to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Harbaugh spends the night in a tank top at IMG.
Hey, I appreciate your dazed and confused quote, by the way.
Here to drink beer and kick
it.
Butt. We're all out of beer. Nicely done for you, being 22 and seeing that movie.
It's my favorite movie.
Good call. We'll wind down on Monday.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Always love having a chat with Coach Mark Manning, Husker Wrestling. We'll have that podcast up. Coach McBride, Greg Smith. You got the McCaffrey news today. Loaded show on a Monday with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Want to tell you about a clean sweep with your friends at Duct Medic, Lincoln and Omaha locations. Go see Bill and the gang when it comes to improving your air, improving your life. You have sinus or allergy problems. I do. Got a new baby. Maybe you have dust around the home, or simply just want to breathe cleaner air. Call Duct Medic in that first step for healthier living and a cleaner home. And there's a lot of airborne contaminants, residential or commercial service. Duct Medic, give them a buzz in Lincoln or Omaha, 402-435-DUCT-3828, ductmedic.com. Dare I say, clean sweep. Golden State, Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, Casino Danny, your alter ego. Do you agree, or does Cleveland get one on Wednesday?
I guess it depends how the refs show up. I'll say.
Do you think
they?
I mean, listen, man, and that's the refs are bad. Everyone says that. Some of us believe it when our kids are missing shots. But this is pro ball, and they've been a disaster.
Yeah, no,
they
it's
have been an inconsistent disaster. How are they going to call it? 21 style, no blood, no foul,
right.
Or you breathe on Steph, whistle time.
Yeah, I'm not usually one to go crazy unless it's my team. Of course, I'll just make an excuse like anyone else. But that first game, obviously, the refs butchered it. The second game, you know, the Warriors were going to win regardless. It just seems like whatever the home team is, I mean, that's how it always is. You're going to get more calls, but you've never really seen so much of an impact. I do think the Warriors will sweep, though.
Okay.
I don't think the refs can have that much of an impact, and I think the Cavs were just depleted after that first game.
Do you see a Golden State's way better than Boston? Yes. Mm-hmm. But do you see a similar situation? Because that series flipped on its ear when Boston went to Cleveland.
Sure.
And Cleveland got even 2-2.
Yeah.
Could they win game one and then steal a second and tie this thing at two? They needed the win in game one for any hope of a seven-game opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland's playing tough basketball. They're playing better than I thought they would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say that the Warriors will sweep.
I think Golden State's a little bit punch drunk, too, from Houston.
Yeah. The only way that it's going to go to five games is if the Warriors allow it to. It's not going to be anything, you know, more so that the Cavs do. It's going to be if the Warriors are just struggling or they just kind of do their thing where they let up on the road a little bit, you know, especially in that second half, what we were talking about a lot with the Rockets. But this is a completely different team than the Rockets, of course. But I'm just going to go with I think they sweep. I think the Warriors are out here to send a message. you know, LeBron's only got so much.
They've been questioned quite a bit. They've been questioned about toughness, about how good they are. Yeah. Cleveland's certainly undermanned. I want to remind you about your friends at Rockbrook Camera. Three area locations for Rockbrook. Maybe you're into photography or just getting into it. Photography needs covered for Hail Varsity with your friends at Rockbrook and their Sony camera options. The digital SLR, it is very lightweight and a fraction of the size to get incredible pictures. You see what you see on HailVarsity.com and in the magazine. Fantastic work by the Sony cameras. Right at Rockbrook Camera. Three locations in the area for you, rockbrookcamera.com. Danny, we will see you Wednesday, dude.
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
Thanks a lot for tuning in. Podcast will be up, HailVarsity.com and iTunes. Talk to you Tuesday.